Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. There's been a number of news reports running around and a number of apologists also weighing in on this regarding the Holy See's interest in finally making some authoritative pronouncement on the alleged apparitions of the Blessed Mother associated with Medjugorje. This, of course, has been the claim, is that there's been just a I don't think there's ever been a claim of such long-running apparitions in church history, and this has made it more difficult for the church to finally come to a conclusion. Another thing that seems absolutely clear is that many, many, many people, you know them, I know them, you may be among them, whose lives have been powerfully and positively changed because of a visit to Medjugorje. And so if, in fact, the Holy See decides that the apparitions are not authentic, what does that mean to your experience? Because you've got to be honest with yourself. You've got to be honest with what you have been through. Again, we can trust God to deal with us as we honestly deal with Him. Joining me right now is Dan Burke to help us work through some of these issues, award-winning author and speaker on Catholic spirituality. Dan is executive director for the National Catholic Register, a co-host of Register Radio, and also founder of the Avila Institute for Spiritual Formation. It's great to have you with me again, Dan. Thanks.
It's always good to be with you, Al, and this is, an important topic, and it's also of great interest to the readers at the Register. Last week, as things were stirring up a bit about Medjugorje, and we had one of our opinion writers put out a post that I thought was a little bit harsh, but made some good points, I felt compelled to write something on it, and I've never done that, and it went viral. 37,000 likes on Facebook, tens of thousands of reads, and I thought, well, I touched a nerve. The funny thing was, and then the next day, the fake... or should I call them that? The fabricated, I don't know how to characterize what came out of the Italian media.
Yeah,
but at least we know the Vatican formally denied that there had been a decision and a report out of the CDF.
Right.
And
right.
So my post hit the exact same day that the false report came out. And it's a big issue to many, many people who have been impacted by their experience with Medjugorje.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I know that over the last 2 years, I've heard more and more apologists thinking that the final word will be will fall short of saying these apparitions are worthy of belief. How are you looking at these various categories now? In other words, what could the Holy See come back and say? How would they determine yay or nay?
I think there's, three big broad categories. One is it's all bad. The other is it's all fine and good. And maybe somewhere in the middle, which would provide a pastoral response and a recognition, and you might guess where my mind is on this, but that... Scripture says that if you draw near to God, He will draw near to you.
Exactly.
And it also says that He reigns on the just and the unjust. You know, He used a donkey to speak the words of God in Scripture. And so He uses events and places and people because of them and in spite of them, both. And so I suspect that the church honor the possibility and the reality of someone having a true experience of God in Medjugorje and through and around the circumstances of Medjugorje, but that the visionaries themselves or something went wrong or whatever in the midst of the thing where the church can't officially support any sort of public activity. I mean, I think in 2013 we had a strong signal from the Papal Nuncio in the United States where we were issued a letter to all the bishops and that said, it says that clerics and the faithful are not permitted, this is the exact wording in one portion of it, clerics and faithful are not permitted to participate in meetings, conferences, public celebrations during which the credibility of such apparitions would be taken for granted. That's a strong signal that there's a negative judgment coming.
Right.
But I want to be really, this is so important now. If you, in speaking to our listeners, if you've been positively impacted by Medjugorje, that that has brought about fruit and greater virtue in your life and deepened your prayer and made you more committed, let me just say this, this is very important, to the magisterium and the teaching and the authority of the church and the person and work of Christ in and through the church, if your commitment is strengthened in those ways through Medjugorje, the likelihood that you've had an authentic encounter with God is very high, but that doesn't mean that it's because of the seers or the so-called seers or because of the place or that the apparitions or the visions or whatever you want to call it is real.
Right.
What it means is God loves you and he will draw near to you anytime you draw near to him.
Yeah. I, you know, in my life, and I know a little bit about your testimony as well, Dan, my heart was opened to the possibility of God's existence through a means that I would never suggest that somebody else pursue. My heart was also softened towards the reality of Jesus through a stimulus that I would never recommend anybody else take. We can false teachers can be there. They stimulate our thinking. We open ourselves to God, and God actually meets us where we are and then moves us away from the false teacher or the inauthentic or whatever. It really is God's love for us, I think, meeting us where we are and using sometimes very flawed means to get at us. Do you agree?
Yeah, and I described that in the post I wrote, Medjugorje and the Authentic Work of God, where I had an encounter with a 17th century priest through his writings that taught me about aridity and some things about prayer and really helped me and drew me into Catholic mystical spirituality. But I later discovered he was condemned by the church. He was a quietist.
Oh, yeah, is this Fenelon?
No, it's
that's
Michael
okay.
Molinos. Miguel Molinos.
Oh, yes, yes, I know who you mean. Okay.
Yeah, and Molinos, you know, believed in this, you know, you're so pure and holy and in union with God in prayer, you don't even need the sacrament. So
right.
He went way off the rails, but I got a little piece of his teaching that was good and true. It helped me, but I tell you, as soon as I found out that the Holy Spirit's not napping. You know, he works in and through the church to help us vet these things. We have great theologians like Pope Benedict and others who vet these things for us. And the church ruled rightly that his writings shouldn't be a part of the fare of a normal Catholic. So I set it aside and moved to the spiritual doctors of the church. So God used this broken means to reach out to a heart I was desperately wanted to understand more about prayer and draw closer to him. And he drew me closer to him, but it wasn't because of Molinos.
Right.
It was because of his love for me.
Yeah. Yes, he loves you. You were seeking him, and he uses the means that are within your sphere of acceptance. That's the way I read it, at least in my own life.
Yeah.
Now, the register
key,
is... I'm sorry, go right ahead.
Okay. Well, one key point, Al, here, too, is, you know, folks, there's a little bit warning bells should go off in our minds and hearts when we get really upset and lose our peace. So let's say Medjugorje has really had a big impact on us, and you hear arguments against it, and you lose your peace and you start getting upset. I would say to you that is likely. Let's say that your experience is completely authentic. But the fact that you're getting upset and bent out of shape and maybe even arguing with the church or arguing with other people, that would say to me that you're probably dealing with an attachment now that is going to damage you spiritually.
Mm.
So even if it's all true,
yeah,
and even if it really did impact you, if you're grasping onto this thing instead of grasping onto God,
yes,
then you may have been blessed, but now you're in trouble.
Mm.
And that's another issue that I wanted to address in the article that I posted, so that people could be more pastorally aware of the, you know, the spiritual issues surrounding this.
Good, good. I know the Register is going to be following this as closely as you can, Do we know at this moment when a decision will come down, or are we certain it will be coming down?
Well, yeah, I mean, Father Federico Lombardi, the Vatican's chief spokesman, said that no decision is expected until after the summer, in quotes. So they, when we asked them about the Italian, you know, reports, they just repeated back and said, hey, no, nothing's really happened. We don't expect a decision until after the summer. So I think a decision is coming. Of course, they could put it off, but, you know, I think we're going to be following World Meeting of Families and, you know, maybe even following the Synod and all of that.
Yeah, it's true. There's a lot coming up.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah. Now, tell me, how do people stay abreast of your work on this? And are you going to be doing work on this with the Avila Institute as well as the Register?
Well, we do have courses on Mary's role in the interior life. We have one of our professors has a doctorate in that from the Angelicum in Rome, and so we are teaching our students about that. But yeah, we'll be and folks can find out about courses at avila-institute.com, avila-institute.com, and of course, just for the news, I recommend everybody follow you because you're going to tell it straight. And that you take a look at the Register
right
before you get upset. If it's not in the Register and Al's not saying it, I wouldn't be worried about it.
Well, really, there's no doubt National Catholic Register is the one Catholic publication that people should be in touch with every day. You're doing a great job with it. And it's getting better. I've noticed that over the last few years it continues to get better. So congratulations. I hope you're getting the support that you need to keep doing this.
EWTN has been, there's been nothing better in the history of the Register, in my opinion, and that stems from the 1920s forward, than EWTN's acquisition and all the work and the support they give us to bring the best talent to the table, and it's a real blessing.
Yeah, great. Dan, let me thank you so much, and we will stay in touch. Let me know if you sense anything happening here that we can talk about. Give me a call, and I'll do the same.
Absolutely. It's great talking with you, Al.
You too. Dan Burke, again, founder of the Avila Institute and avila-institute.com. And, of course, he's executive director of the National Catholic Register, which is the premier Catholic newspaper in America. We rely... At Crest in the Afternoon, we rely a good deal on the work the Register puts out. They're actually doing investigative reporting as well, which is fairly unusual among Catholic publications. So it takes a lot of work, takes a lot of smarts to do investigative work. So you can see, again, feel very strongly about the work that's being done there. I remember when EWTN took over the National Catholic Register in the difficulty they had, making all those changes. But what a job they've done. Now, you can follow up on any of the conversations we're having here at Crest in the Afternoon by going to AveMariaRadio.net. We're also publishing in video form some of the commentaries that I've been offering on the Supreme Court decision. It's kind of put the Pope's encyclical on the back burner, unfortunately. But we will return to the Holy Father's encyclical on the environment. I'll be going on vacation next week, so I'll have limited time to be with you, but I'll tell you more about that tomorrow.